football on off the ball.
That was huge for them because they're going to hype this up, and they did hype this up, as like Alan Shearer and Guy Mowbray said after the game, the greatest English result in a World Cup since 66. Yeah, and one of the greatest English performances.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Inside the Odds on Off the Ball with NoviBet. Get up to 50% boost on all bet builders with NoviBet. Download and play today. 18 plus, see gamblingcare.ie.
All right, it is officially the business end of the World Cup. The quarterfinals are starting tomorrow at 9 o'clock our time. And then we have Friday at 8, we have Saturday at 10, and Sunday morning at 2 o'clock in the morning, Saturday, late Saturday night. Norway, England is a game that we're focusing on for our bet. David and Phil are here. David, you picked the bet.
Yeah, I did.
If memory serves, it's the first time that the person who's actually picked the bet has come in to defend their bet. So fair play to you.
Yeah. I don't know how people have got away with doing bets and not actually being in here. But to be honest, I didn't pick a winner. I didn't pick anyone to qualify. So I
noticed that. You've sat on the fence.
Yeah.
But predicting something of a classic.
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I just fancy with the games that we've seen over the last couple of days in particular that this will continue into quarterfinals and it kind of becomes an all-time classic maybe on the pitch.
I wouldn't be terribly surprised if this went to extra time.
Which would be fine because it would take us up until the Argentina-Switzerland game.
It would be late, yeah.
It's fine though, we can do it at the weekend.
You gotta,
because I did the
wits about you for Kerry.
Mexico game and...
Too much for me.
Broke me.
Yeah.
Broke me on Monday. It was. I thought Master Sunday was tough, but this was a lot.
But the extra hour delay.
Actually, that worked out because I got an hour
sleep
in between.
Okay. Mm. So you knew it was going to be an hour. Did they tell you?
When I woke up at 1. So I went to bed at 11 after the Sunday night game.
Yeah.
And then I got my 2 hours, woke up, and then I was like, right, you've another hour, right, back to sleep. And then after the game finished, back to sleep for another hour and a half and then into work. But it was like England-Mexico was brilliant.
Yeah, it was one of those games that you had to stay up for. I couldn't, like if I was lying in bed and that game was going on, I'd be thinking, I wonder what's going on. Like, yeah. I just couldn't.
That basically happened to me last night. I went to bed and then got up for the penalty shootout. It was I just couldn't sleep anyway with the heat.
Yeah.
So.
Do you know what? You missed nothing before that.
No.
It was a stinker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which there's also the possibility some of these games turn into those dour, scared, two relatively evenly matched sides.
Absolutely, yeah.
Spain and Belgium.
Yeah, maybe Belgium aren't good enough to be able to. Not sure. Are they good enough?
I don't know. They showed obviously against the US, but they had extra motivation for obvious reasons.
And the US were shocked.
They were terrible for 84 minutes or 86 minutes of the previous game, though.
Yeah. So,
what's the truth?
Can they turn it on when they are really locked in and focused?
Maybe this is the time they actually do something shocking good as opposed to shocking bad when they're least expected.
The golden generation finally delivers although it's on the bench most of the golden generation.
Yeah. I think that's a bit harsh though. They did get to the semi-final and got beaten by a very good France team. France were excellent in that game in 2018.
Your bet is Erling Haaland anytime goal scorer, Harry Kane anytime goal scorer, over 2.5 cards. And Declan Rice to have a shot on target. Now, is Declan Rice going to play right back? Is he more likely to have a shot from right back?
Yeah, I don't know.
Jed Spence going to play right back, isn't he?
I think so, yeah. I think Jed Spence. I don't know. Are they going to throw in Dan Byrne? Big Dan Byrne after his heroic performance on his heroic cameo on Monday morning. Like, he has...
So you saw the game. Tell us, what happened? How good was he?
Well... It's one of those things where England just after going 3-2 up with about 15-20 minutes to go, they said, we'll just get all the defenders on. And
5-3-2.
Yeah, Mexico.
5-3-1.
Yeah, pretty much. And Mexico, you're going to cross the ball in and we're going to have John Stones, Marek Gahey, Ezri Konsa, Dan Byrne, and we're just going to head every single clearance away. And Dan Byrne, I don't know if you see the BBC have like a 3D kind of animation thing of like the actual, basically you can be inside Dan Byrne's head and you can see the ball coming in and he just heads it like 40 yards. I don't know, are they going to use that to try and mark Haaland? Could they play three at the back?
I don't think so.
Tuchel has a master plan for every eventuality, it seems.
Yeah, well, and he gets to use it nicely because he gets his tactical timeouts as well.
Yeah.
Which suits him. The thing about Declan Rice, will he get a shot on target? Would one of his in-swinging corners be classified as a shot on target?
Yeah, it should do, shouldn't it? Because if it can go in untouched, it's a shot, right?
Yeah.
I'd say...
The old Katie McCabe special.
Yeah.
The Olympico.
The Olympico, yeah. Yeah. Or even he might just take free kick. Like Reece James isn't there to take free kicks. Obviously, you've got Harry Kane and maybe Marcus Rashford plays as well. But I just fancy maybe a shot outside the box.
Yeah.
So Norway...
Free kick is a good shout because he will definitely take a free kick.
Yeah.
It's unlikely Rashford's going to start. I thought Anthony Gordon was one of their better players on...
Yeah.
Sunday/Monday.
It's mad how kind of poor he'd been before that. And then he played really well. And obviously Bellingham was just
unbelievable. He was. Yeah. So much for leaving him at home.
The thing is, though, the game's at 10 o'clock, obviously Saturday night, and it's in Miami. And there are murmurings of maybe some storms coming Florida's way. So we could be in for another late one again. I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah, but that's okay. It's a Saturday night. We can deal with that.
Yeah, true.
We can deal with that.
We've broken it now.
Like, I think there will be goals, though, because I think both sides have weaknesses at the back. And obviously, both sides have prolific strikers as well. So that would suggest we will get goals. I think that's where I would lean towards England, where I think Norway aren't great at the back. And what will they create? But the thing about Haaland is, like, he's just... needs minimal touches.
Yeah, they'll get a few crosses in.
Yeah,
and everybody will be like, "Oh, we've seen this before." I was making the point; he'll have scored against all of these players.
Yeah,
so it's not like he's going, "Oh, you've had me in your pocket." Yeah, you have for 89 minutes, and then I score.
Yeah, he'd be looking at Mark Gahey and Nico O'Reilly going, "I get you out to training every week."
Yeah. Sorry, I'm just looking for the actual match odds. Norway are 3-1. Seems like a big price to me. England are 20-21. Just a touch of odds on. And the draw is 14-5, which I think is a big price. Why are you confident England are going to win? You're not confident, but you're leaning towards them.
I think they're better in midfield. And I think just how good Kane is. Bellingham's been exceptional. They'll just get chances against Norway. It'll be interesting to see what Norway do in terms of their wingers, because they changed both at halftime. The other day, and they both did well. Like,
I thought Oscar Bob was
brilliant. Yeah, so he's like Sirloth. I mean, he's been brilliant wherever he goes.
Hello.
He wasn't great when he was in the Premier League.
Mm.
And people kind of just think, well, you know, there's so many players that don't play well in the Premier League. That means nothing. Like, he's playing for Atletico Madrid, but it's strange watching him out on the right wing. He's not the easiest on the eye, whereas Oscar Bob. I'm a big fan of Noose. I'm surprised he was taken off at half time, but Sheldrup did really well when he came on.
Yeah, he was excellent. And even like Norway had that tactic as well, where they just kind of pumped balls out to the right wing to Sørloth, and he kind of didn't do too much with them. Maybe they start Sheldrup and Oscar Bob this time and bring on the two lads, Noose and Sørloth after that.
England heavy favourites for this. There was at least that doubt about what was going to happen in the Azteca because of the various environmental factors, and that was what everybody was talking about. This time it's like, if you lose to these guys, you know, Swedes won, turnips nil, all over again. They haven't dealt very well with that pressure.
No, like they have plenty of faults in the team, where we saw even against Croatia in the first game, they conceded a couple of goals, and maybe that was a sign of what's to come. But
the teams who've played in a low block against them since have done really well.
Yeah, I don't think Norway would play like that, though.
Is there not? Would you not just
not
do that?
Not as defensive.
Like, they could set up that way. They have the players to do
it. Absolutely they do, yeah.
Yeah.
Would you not be tempted if you were the manager to be like, look, lads, we have this guy and this guy.
Yeah.
You guys are going to defend your arses off, and every time you get it, just punt it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
That
is a tactic that would definitely work. And maybe Stade Solbakken and just says, yeah, this is, we're going to just change things up, lads, because this is a World Cup quarterfinal.
Yeah, and it's shit or bust.
Yeah. So, like, I know you might want to play a certain way, but we're going to do things my way. And Haaland, we know, plays his best when he is on that break and he has all that space to run into. that ball over the top. He just eats it up. And
yeah. And on the game against Brazil, they kind of rested with the ball. They kind of kept the ball without really doing too much with it. And then had that slow kind of build up. And then maybe that like kind of lulled Brazil into full sense of security. And then all of a sudden, Haaland, bang, goal. And, you know, and the second one as well. So, yeah, I don't know. They can definitely get players behind the ball. And maybe they use Nusa and maybe they use Skeldrup as well as like counter-attacking options as well with Haaland up front. But they do have some good players. Like Sander Berg is a pretty good midfielder.
Absolutely, yeah.
And they brought on the fella from Benfica, Arsenal as well, yeah. Who's a really good player as well. So, yeah, they actually do have lots of quality. And England struggle against the low block.
I just think the game, obviously it's priced up because everybody in England is back in England to win. And but if you were to, you know, anonymize the team's paths to this point, and it's like, oh, that team beat Brazil and that team beat Mexico, and kind of, you know, in fairness, some heroic circumstances around it, it'd be much closer to a 50-50 game.
Oh yeah, you can make cases for both teams to win, absolutely. I suppose just the fact that England have found a way in recent tournaments that they've got to either finals or semi-finals.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have kind of previously disposed of this kind of standard of opposition.
Yeah, you think back to Denmark and the Euros.
Yeah.
You know, that game went to extra time.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I think we're destined for extra time, at least. And giving Norway every chance of winning. But
if it went to penalties, who would you back?
Yeah, see, it's hard to know in terms of what or who is on the pitch at that stage.
Yeah.
That is the problem, isn't it?
He has been taking Kane off.
Yeah. And
but
you have to assume he doesn't leave him on for 120 minutes. Maybe at this stage of the tournament you leave him on because
this is it.
There will be a penalty.
I think England with penalties, like you think back to the watching Switzerland last night and Kanji set it up for the redemption penalty, and yeah, Davinson and Sanchez did the same thing, and he at no point did I think he was going to score.
No.
Akanji, I thought, right, this is your chance now.
Even when the ball bounced back down off the goal line, you're like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Sanchez just looked a bit jumpy going up to it.
Very jumpy. Yeah.
Actually, Akanji looked like he knew what he was about to do, but just couldn't execute it.
He just had his mind on the wrong thing. This is Inside the Odds at NoviBet. Miss out on the final Bet Builder leg. Get up to a €10 free bet back every day on football's biggest tournament this summer if your Bet Builder loses. NoviBet, more power to you. 18+, play responsibly, gamblingcare.ie. So David's bet again. Erling Haaland, anytime goal scorer. Harry Kane, anytime goal scorer. Over 2.5 cards. And over Declan Rice to have at least one shot. The over 2.5 cards is interesting because we've been had a slightly weird tournament where some referees, no cards, and then a festivity of cards for France, for example, randomly. So I don't know. I think the refereeing has been wild.
Well, on the cards as well, you look at Rice and Kane, they're on yellow cards. They pick up a yellow card and they're out of a potential semi-final. Like you mentioned France there, Michael Olise got that ridiculous yellow card against Paraguay. So imagine he gets booked against Morocco and they beat Morocco and then he's out of a semi-final.
I suspect an amnesty is imminent.
It would be. This is the last time, isn't it? The quarter-final is the last chance and then
they're wiped for the final.
They're wiped for the semi-finals. So you can't miss a final.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that they might suddenly magic a new one into existence.
Yeah, well, we've seen that rules...
They don't matter.
Subject to change.
I'm actually in favour of getting rid of two bookings at a tournament costing you, because it's two bookings over 180 minutes cost you the same as two yellows.
What about red cards getting overturned?
Well, I think red card's red card.
But you think back to Laurent Blanc, like, that was ridiculous. The 98 final, he misses it.
Because of a second yellow?
Because he gets sent off stupidly for the Bilic thing, which Bilic milked, and then he misses the final.
I'm not against yellow cards being...
Two is enough?
Two is fine. Like, it stops maybe teams like Paraguay absolutely shithousing their way through tournaments and stuff as well if you get all your players suspended after a while.
Yeah. Maybe if you're a good player.
Yeah.
You can
maybe
be good
if you're a creative player
that
does something stupid once. And I don't know.
Yeah. Declan Rice on the yellow card as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So France-Morocco is tomorrow. What's of these semi-final, quarter-finals, which is the most likely to produce a shock, Maria? France-Morocco, Spain-Belgium, Argentina-Switzerland.
Is it a shock if Switzerland beat Argentina?
I think, like, I mean,
it is, like, but
in terms of world football history, it'd be Switzerland creating a, having a moment.
Argentina just are finding a way, though. I mean, a few alarm bells would have been sounded when they went to extra time with Cape Verde, and then obviously yesterday when Egypt go 2-0 up, you're thinking, wow, like, this isn't looking good.
Yeah.
But they've always found a way.
There's only so many ways, so many times you can find a way, though, isn't there?
Well, so they're either a team of destiny or they're absolutely knackered.
Yeah, but I thought that game was going to go to extra time, and thinking, will that come back to haunt them later in the tournament? But they've done this before where they come through extra time, they win a penalty shootout, and they get to a final.
Yeah.
The difference is they weren't winning those finals. You know, I think back to Italia 90 even, like that, they didn't play well. They came up with a good result against Brazil to knock them out in the last 16, but they just managed to get their way through it, and all of a sudden they end up in a final.
Yeah.
Mm. Their extra time record is sensational. I think Ali McCoy was saying in commentary yesterday, they won 8 out of 10 at World Cups in the last 10 games. Like, they're, when they go the distance, they're well able to,
they know how
win
to,
on points.
Yeah. And how to cheat and gouge and spit and bite.
They just know how to get it done. Streetwise is what...
They were lucky yesterday, though. Like, very lucky.
Yeah, like, I just wonder now what changes he makes, because Alvarez hasn't been good.
No.
So does Lautaro start now?
I thought, like Lautaro had started those games before, and I thought defensively he'd done really well. Like, he kind of done Messi's running for him as well. There's players there like Giuliano Simeone and Nico Paz that haven't had any game time at all. I'm thinking, like, surely they're worth a go at some stage.
Was Diego Simeone a little less emphatic in the celebrations when the camera panned to him than he might have been if his son was playing, did you think?
Yeah, I do.
Was it like a little bit of like, yeah, fair play, lads?
I do think, like, even for someone like Diego Simeone, I think he would be, he's thinking, my son should be playing, like.
Maybe he'll have a word.
He walked out. It looked like he at 2-0, like, you saw him walking there. He's probably going to get a refreshment, maybe. He's thinking, this is just, this isn't happening.
So Argentina are going to beat Switzerland. Is that the...
It wouldn't surprise me if Argentina just turned up and, like, put in a professional 2-0 win or something like that, where Switzerland didn't take any risks and paid the price for it.
Switzerland are a big price there, 4-1. The draw is 5-2 in that one. Argentina are 3-4, so odds on favourites for that one. The other matches are also big outsiders. Morocco are 5-1. That seems too high.
It's probably just because France have looked so good.
Yeah.
And they've been, would you say, by far the best team at the tournament?
Absolutely. I think so, yeah. Now, they've had moments where they've looked ordinary, but then when they kick into gear, they're just a different level. And I think Morocco have some unbelievable players, but the central defence is one issue for them. And obviously, Saibari came off injured. That's a big blow. I think Bonu's a great goalkeeper, but I just think France will have too much. There's every chance France comfortably win and do the same in the semi-final and do the same in a final.
And they're by far we understand that. Because like, that's what it feels like. I still do have some concerns about their central midfield being overrun by a good team.
Yeah.
But it turns out maybe, you know, Portugal, who might have been able to do that, didn't pick all their midfielders and decided to play Ronaldo. So
I think you could get a situation where they might concede a goal, but then they go and score two.
Yeah.
That when they kick into gear, they can absolutely obliterate teams.
Interesting from a kind of French-Moroccan standpoint that Ayoub Bouadi, who obviously was born in France and has been one of the stars of the tournament, turned down France, but actually played for France and they're all the way in underage, and then decided to play for Morocco. He was only 18, I think, still, and super highly rated midfielder, and he'll be playing against maybe Manu Kone, maybe Tchouameni and Rabiot.
He's been good.
He has been.
He's come in and he's done really well.
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting subplot there as well. Issa Diop obviously played for France the whole way up as well, underage, and then only declared for Morocco a couple of months ago. So I'd say Paris would be really fun to be in on Thursday night. I'd say it'd be a great atmosphere there.
So France coming through that one, and then the game that we haven't really spoken about too much is Spain and Belgium. Spain obviously required every last second, essentially, against Portugal. Portugal playing with 10 men. You know?
Yeah, I think this won't be a classic.
It's been a bit disappointing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they haven't conceded a goal yet.
I know. They're definitely look, you wouldn't be raving forever to your kids and grandkids about the Spain 2026 World Cup team yet. No. Unless Lamal suddenly finds a form that has not been there. And I think that's fitness connected rather than anything else. Mm.
The 2010 team is a bit like that too, though, where they pass and kind of board teams into...
I blame the Jubilani for that. We saw them be so good in 2008, where they did play expressive, perfect football, and Fernando Torres was at his peak, so I kind of give them a bit of a free pass.
Yeah.
The nervousness, you lose the first game, you're like, oh, shit. But this team, the two wingers are essentially injured. All the wingers are injured.
Nico Williams was a big loss. Like he was electric at the Euros, and obviously Yamal was. But they used their bench well the other night when it looked like the game was heading for extra time. So, like, Marino is, he's quite like, you know, he just has this habit of, I just knew when that ball fell to him that he was going to score.
Yeah.
And Arsenal have obviously used him as a centre forward. And, like, obviously, athletically, he's massive. He has that presence about him, but it was just such a tidy finish.
Yeah. Like, it was the bench that won in the game. Ferran came on, and obviously, Marino scored the goal. Fabian Ruiz, I thought, was really good as well when he came on. So, like, the thing about Spain is if they, whatever 11 players they start, they've got 11 players off the bench that are probably a similar level to them. So
you make them favourites to go through?
Yeah.
In a straightforward game? Not a great game, but a relatively straightforward one for them, where, similar to Argentina, they win 2-0 and everybody goes, that makes sense.
Like a dominant 1-0 even.
Right.
Where, you know, they just own the ball. And that would intrigue me about a potential France-Spain semi-final, where as good as France are, can they get the ball off Spain? Now, if they do, then anything can happen.
Yeah.
But Spain are just so good at controlling the ball.
Are Spain going to win the World Cup with Porro right back? He's playing well, but...
Yeah, like, I thought he was very good against Portugal. I thought Cucurella, I think he's probably maybe the best left-back in the world now, so...
I know, I'm still going Nuno
Mendes. Nuno Mendes, yeah, true. But Cucurella just consistently has been, like, that 8 out of 10 pretty much every week in a bad Chelsea team.
It's come a long way, considering, like, Chelsea fans weren't really having much of him at the start when he came over from Brighton, and...
Yeah.
He's just gone to a different level, and he's just like, he's perfect for Real Madrid now and Mourinho.
I think Belgium will give him their fill of it, though. I think they will, like, Tielemans was excellent against the US.
He is class.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I know Doku and De Bruyne didn't start, but, like, there's still players to take off the bench.
Trossard's
been well. And, like, Belgium are a dangerous team because obviously they've had the incidents with Balogun suspension being over or suspended earlier in the week, and they're kind of playing. They're playing, you know, they're in a quarter final. They've kind of met their expectations. Yeah, that's a dangerous thing.
They are that team with the freedom who were going out when they were 2-0 down with 85 minutes on the clock.
Yeah.
So maybe they feel their team of destiny and, like, this is revenge for the teams that didn't make it.
Yeah.
Good tournament so far?
Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, there was obviously people were worried about too many teams. There has been some bad games. There's always bad games.
That's
World Cups.
Yeah.
But the bad games have been the best teams playing against each other and cancelling each other out.
Yeah.
And
I think, you know, the worry going into the World Cup was all the stuff around the football rather than the football itself. And I think some of the matches have been so good, it means the other stuff is in the background.
Yeah. Infantino was correct when he was like, chill, when the football starts, you'll all forget about how much of a moron I am. And then he reminds us and we...
And we'll think, you know, the day of the final, we'll be like, oh, this is great, World Cup final. And then the winning captain will be there and Donald Trump will be front and centre lifting the World Cup with them. And you'd be thinking, okay, right, let's never do this again.
Yeah. What's the American version of a bisht? Don't know. Does he just take the flag and drape it over him? Or a cowboy hat?
MAGA hat.
MAGA hat, yeah.
That'd be it.
Yeah.
All right, lads, good stuff. Thanks very much. Inside the Odds with NoviBet. Miss out on the final bet builder leg? Don't worry, get up to a 10 euro free bet back every day on football's biggest tournament this summer if your bet builder loses. NoviBet, more power to you. 18 plus, play responsibly. Gamblingcare.ie.
Inside the Odds on Off the Ball with NoviBet. Get up to 50% boost on all bet builders with NoviBet. Download and play today. 18 plus, see gamblingcare.ie.